You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network of podcasts.
Hey, this is Sari, and you guys should check out All Things Transformers with Steve, Megatron, and TFG1 Mike. It's a cool show.
You're listening to All Things Transformers, episode 41, recorded Tuesday, March 9th, 2010.
Welcome to All Things Transformers, episode 41. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me as always is...
TFG on Mike, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Very tired.
Yes. It is quarter of six in the morning as we are doing this, much like our usual record times for this show.
Yeah, it's one of them days.
Mm-hmm. At least the weather is supposed to be nice, so that's good. Hell, yesterday.
Yeah, we're getting back up around the 40s and 50s again.
Hell, yesterday here it felt like summertime. It was like up to the 60s, I think.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it felt like around here, too. It was pretty actually really decent out.
Yeah. So what's been going on with you?
As some people will know, I've had issues with that box set, which I've returned, although I got fucked on $9 shipping, which is bullshit, but cause I had to send it back to the dipshit so I could get a full refund, which it wasn't totally a full refund. I mean, it was a full refund of what I paid originally, but not of what I paid to send it.
Man, true, but I mean, you know...
Yeah, so
as long as you get your original money back minus the cost of having to send it, that's always good. Because sometimes they'll say, oh, well, we're not going to do that because we're only going to refund you the shipping or whatever. So.
Yeah, so I'm just going to leave that be.
Yeah.
And then...
I actually asked, I'm not sure when this episode is going to go up, but last night, because we were recording this Tuesday morning... When I was doing Nerd News with Mike Dodd, I asked him if it was at all possible, if he can contact Warner Brothers to get you a copy of it for review, but he said he's still waiting on his copy of the Justice League Complete series, so there's probably no way he could get you one of the Batman series. I tried.
Yeah. But yeah, so my mom bought me the whole series on... volume set so that I can actually get it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is better than nothing at all.
True.
I'm hoping for a like new release with the 20-year anniversary in 2 years.
See, I don't know if they will or not. I mean, the 15th anniversary of Mask of the Phantasm just passed a couple of years ago. And they didn't do a DVD release for that at all. Mask of the Phantasm... only had the one, you know, bare-bones DVD release back in the day. And there was a campaign going on over at worldsfinestonline.com about, you know, will a 15th anniversary DVD be done for that film. And with this big box set now, I don't know if they would transfer it from regular DVD to Blu-ray for a 20th anniversary edition. I'm not sure. I don't know what Warner Brothers would do with it. It'd be nice, but I just don't know.
I don't see it happening just because they'd have to convert the whole thing to higher format.
Yep.
And that would require a lot of money.
Yeah. And you got to think, the original, well, the set itself when it came out late last year... the MSRP on that set was $107.92 when it came out. And if you were lucky enough to get it on sale when it came out at like Best Buy or whatever, I paid like $76 after tax.
That's not bad at all.
For the actual set. So, no, it's not bad at all when you consider the MSRP price.
Yep.
So, anyway, this is All Things Transformers. You have a reply to your Astro Boy question from last episode.
Yes, as some may or may not know, I put out a calling last week when I released episode 40 of something I heard people talking about at my local FYE. So, in a pissed off rage in response, I commented on it in the last episode, and I asked for your comments. So what I ended up with was, I got an email from, I'm pulling it up right now, lack of preparedness here. It's from Sherry Fournier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I just butchered her name, and I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Hello there. My name is Sherry, and I subscribe to your Transformers podcast on iTunes. In the latest episode, which I believe is episode 40, you asked on our thoughts on the whole Astro Boy is why robot franchises started thing. I'm going to say, please, Astro Boy wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the Jewish folklore of golems. Golems are, in essence, if you think about it, the first robots created by man, have a form of activation and deactivation. In the golem folklore, it was brought to life after created out of mud, one of the names of God on its forehead. A slip of with the same thing put in its mouth, or the Hebrew word for truth written on its forehead. In the last care to deactivate it, you have to erase part of the word, make the Hebrew word for death. That's pretty well a robot. In fact, a play about a golem was the first time the word robot was coined. So what I'm saying, Astro Boy, and nothing against Astro Boy, I don't enjoy it myself, but I do realize it was an important anime in its own right, was not the first. Therefore, not the reason why Transformers was created. You have Jewish folklore to thank for that. Yes, I'm a total geek. Why do you ask?"
Well, you know, when she's talking about golems, the first thing that comes to mind is the golem from Batman Beyond with Willie Watt controlling it. But anyway, you know, now that I'm thinking about this, if you really want the truth, especially Transformers-wise, first of all, Astro Boy, as she said, is an anime. That doesn't count as far as Transformers cartoons, because for the most part, Transformers cartoons, outside of the stuff that's done in Japan, is an Americanized cartoon. It's not anime style. It has nothing to do with anime. If you really want the truth, now that I'm thinking about it, the Transformers cartoons have GoBots to thank, the failing fucking GoBots. If GoBots didn't start and then plummet to their death, I don't think we would have Transformers. And you know, the funny part about that is now that Hasbro owns, oh God, what was the damn company? I just covered it in 35 of Dooncast. Long story short, Hasbro now owns Tonka's properties, because Tonka Toys went under, bankrupt, or whatever. So we will probably never see GoBots on DVD because it clashes with Hasbro's Transformers property.
Yeah, I could see that not ever showing the light of day again.
I mean, unless Hasbro has, you know, some need to, you know, or they have some people working for them who are huge GoBot fans that want to see giant mistransformed jets with weird googly-eyed heads on DVD, you know, they'll probably tap Shout Factory to do it. But, when you were in this FYE, how old did these people look?
Probably in their mid-late 20s.
Mid to late 20s or early to mid 20s?
All varieties. There were six of them standing there talking.
Okay, because, you know, honestly, and I'm not meaning any offense to any of the late 20s Transformers fans who still grew up in the 80s, but, like, early 20s and, like, say, late teens of people that are alive now, you didn't grow up in the 80s. If anime Astro Boy is all you fucking know, you don't know shit. You know, that's just...
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you.
That's just fucking stupid. That's just fucking stupid. Astro Boy was the... No. No. That's just... No. No, no, no. So...
Yeah, that's what I thought. I just... It was like, okay, come on, guys. Give me a break.
Yeah. It's not our fault people were born in the wrong generation. So thank you, Sherry, for the email.
Yes, thank you very much. And we encourage all forms of questions, comments, and emails or anything that you would like to see in the show or contribute or comment on.
Speaking of contributing, cross-promotion, ToyCast is still accepting voicemails or MP3s for our 50th episode. The deadline for this is March 21st. You can call into the voicemail line at 502-526-5821. Leave a message if you want to do a toy review. It doesn't matter what toy line it is. If you just want to congratulate us on getting to 50 episodes, that's cool too. Or you can send an MP3 file to tfg1podcast@gmail.com. As I said, the deadline for that is March 21st. So I guess now on to the news.
Yes.
War for Cybertron multiplayer details. Create your own Transformer character? 3News has posted a small write-up on Transformers War for Cybertron. Included in their article, direct from Activision, is information on the War for Cybertron multiplayer mode, including confirmation that there will be some level of character creation in the multiplayer. Complete with several multiplayer modes, Transformers War for Cybertron allows gamers to play through the story missions with their friends in drop-in, drop-out online co-op. It also creates their own Transformers character for a competitive head-to-head multiplayer modes, choosing among four distinct character classes, personalizing its look, and selecting from a huge variety of weapons, skills, and abilities. It is not yet confirmed exactly how extensive this character creation will be. However, it is extremely encouraging for every Transformers fan who has ever wanted to create their own character to join the epic battle between the Autobots and the Decepticons. Again, you know, we haven't seen a lot from War for Cybertron, and myself included, a lot of people are deeming it, which it doesn't really have any stiff competition for this title, but are deeming it the best Transformers game ever. I know that the people at Moon Studios did not set out to create the best Transformers game ever. They just wanted to create a really good Transformers game. But just everything I've heard about this game, it's like the end-all, be-all of Transformers games.
Yeah, this is definitely one that if you've missed any of the others and or you loved some of the others, forget the other ones. This is the one to be clinging to.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
I mean, I was a big fan of the multiplayer, and believe it or not, back in the day in the late 90s of Beast Wars, playing it on the MSN Zone, which is the only place you could play it, and it was like a four-player game. And back in the day, we used to think that was awesome, you know. But the graphics have come a long way. Sound has come a long way. Everything in these games have come a long way since those, and even Armada, which was deemed pretty much the best game before this. The Transformer movie adaptations were kind of lackluster, and they missed a beat in quite a few areas. So, I mean, this is the game that if you haven't bought one before, or if you have, this is the one to try and like it, because you probably won't be disappointed at all.
Yes. Oh, I totally agree. Just from what I've seen so far of this, there isn't a single thing that I don't like. The only thing that concerns me is whomever voices Megatron. because I don't think it's been officially said anywhere who voices him in the game.
I actually found that out a couple weeks ago.
Oh, did you?
Yes. I posted it on Behind the Voice Actors, but I don't know if they actually put it on the page.
So who voices him?
I don't know off the top of my head. I'm just saying I figured
it out. That doesn't help, dude.
Give me like a couple minutes. I'll dig it up.
Okay, next story. Optimus Prime and Bumblebee's character models to undergo minor visual changes for Transformers 3. Sci-Fi Wire has posted an article that features an interview with Scott Benza and Scott Farrar from Industrial Light and Magic. Within the interview, the two supervisors from the first two Transformers films talk about the third film. Scott Benza confirms that Optimus Prime and Bumblebee's robot modes will receive subtle changes. They believe that Bumblebee has matured through the first two films and will receive an update to make his physique look more mature, while Optimus Prime's update will make him look more heroic. Elsewhere in the interview, Scott Farrar mentions that they have outlined the movie in hand and a script is mostly done. The ILM art department is currently working on turning 2D work into the 3D characters. Well, that's good that they're wanting to further the Bumblebee character design and the Optimus character design. I hope to God that this movie is not in 3D.
Yeah, they said that some of it's going to be probably in 3D, like scenes here and there.
Well, the other news item that had come out was something about Michael Bay said something about shooting in 3D just to see how it would look. Now, whether they keep the 3D in or not, I don't know, but no.
Yeah. Pretty much against that. I could give two shits less about the next movie, in all honesty. I mean, I'm hoping that something good comes out of this and that they actually fix this franchise. But I'm not very hopeful with what they did with the last film.
The only way that they could fix the franchise is for somebody to pretty much assassinate Michael Bay.
So in other words, new director?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to almost agree with you. Yeah. I think he's butchered it enough. I think it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess since I read that story, I'm going to read a tie-in story to it, which actually is very disheartening. Bumblebee from Transformers Prime revealed. Monocle of the AllSpark has provided an image from a media advertising magazine, Brand Week, that promotes a sneak peek of Hasbro and Discovery's upcoming network, The Hub. Wow, Steve, they stole your name.
Yeah, I had that name a long time ago. Bastards.
One of the characters featured in the image is the robot version of Bumblebee from the upcoming Transformers cartoon for The Hub that is currently called Transformers Prime. The image of Bumblebee shares some characteristics of the movieverse Bumblebee, suggesting that Transformers Prime will indeed take place within the movie universe. No.
Bang head here?
More like cut off finger here. Jesus Christ, no. What the hell is...
I'm so tired of the movie.
I'm telling you, I think I said it off air. I don't think I said it on air, but whenever we get around to doing the live action commentaries for ATTF, I'm going to end up cursing halfway through those fucking commentaries because at this point I am so fucking sick and tired of all this movie-verse tie-in shit. If you want to do it in comics, fine. If you want to do it in toys, fine. Don't make it into a fucking cartoon. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm quite honestly tired of the movie. I mean, I'm fine with it being a live-action movie. That's as far as it goes. When they try and tie it into everything else, I mean, I even heard there's a comic thing that they're trying to tie it into. Mm. There's, like, they're trying to some series over in Japan in some roundabout way. I don't know. But they just need to leave this separate.
Yeah, leave the cartoons alone, you bastards.
You don't see them bringing Shattered Glass or, you know, Universe or...
Something...
Or Machine Wars back in the mix.
Yeah, something that is not Movieverse. Also tying into these movie stories, we have Revenge of the Fallen winning 3 Razzies. Who really gives a crap? Transformers Revenge of the Fallen may have been shunned from the Academy Awards, but it still picked up 3 other, quote-unquote, other awards. The 13th Annual Golden Raspberry Awards, Razzies, recently awarded Revenge of the Fallen the awards for Worst Picture of 2009, Worst Director, and Worst Screenplay. Well, yeah.
Yeah, because the plot line kind of blew. I mean, the movie was... And Michael Bay had these 30-minute run-through-the-desert scenes that were unneeded.
Yeah, getting away from movie news, I know we aren't really interested in the current toys, because there really aren't that many toys that aren't movie, but apparently, the finalized image of Shattered Glass Cyclonus has been revealed. The Transformers Collectors Club has updated with a new image of their exclusive Shattered Glass Cyclonus. Shattered Glass Cyclonus will be available for pre-order shortly, awaiting confirmation of the shipping schedule from the supplier. So stay tuned for your chance to pre-order this toy, and also the highly anticipated Punch Counterpunch. On the subject of Punch Counterpunch, mainly speculated with the toy's dual faction transformation if he might also feature remolded hands to better fit the fact that the torso twists around during the transformation. Unfortunately, an interview between Cybertron.com and Pete Sinclair have confirmed that this will not be the case, because a decision was made to focus all the available budget on the best head sculpt / remold possible. They have a picture of the Shattered Glass Cyclonus on this article here, and to me, like, I love the Universe 2.0 Cyclonus toy. Don't get me wrong, it's a great freaking toy. I would eventually love to get the Henkei version with all the chrome, even though it's a different color purple. But this Shattered Glass version of Cyclonus, he's basically a fire red or a fiery orange hot rod with very light orange wings. I mean, yeah, he is the same figure. It's just repainted as the current Universe 2.0 Cyclonus. It's the exact same figure mold with no real... It's nothing new. It's just a repaint of that figure. And it reminds me, you know, it's like somebody infected him with hot rod juice or something.
Or it looks like they all have the hate plague.
Exactly, yeah. Because it looks...
Oh, God. Give him an idea. Hate plague virus versions.
No. No, Steve. No. Don't go there. Don't go there, dude. Hey, cool. We're not going there. Red repaints of everything. No.
That's all it would be, too.
I know. That's the sad part. And hell, you already have the white Optimus Prime, so you got that covered.
Yeah.
On a better note, you know... If people who are out there who like repaints and I mean, me, I'm a huge fan of Shattered Glass, but this just isn't something I'm interested in. But on a I think we will end the news with this last story here. Transformers All Animated AllSpark Almanac Volume 2 cover art and the adventure continues. Amazon.com has added 3 new entries for various Transformers animated books. The first is the previously announced and listed AllSpark Almanac Volume 2, which has been updated with a cover art true to the style of the first volume. The second volume's cover brings together many fun elements of the series, showing Bumblebee, Sari, and Retgar playing with various other Transformers animated toys. Also listed on Amazon are Transformers Animated Omnibus, which sounds as though it is a collected edition of the previous series adaptation graphic novels, and new entry for Transformers Animated The Adventure Continues Volume 1. Could this new entry be the long-rumored and much-desired print continuation of Transformers Animated? I don't know. I know that I want the Allspark Almanac Volume 2. And if the animated comic books or graphic novels or whatever they were are collected in one edition, as it says, the TFA Omnibus, I would love to get that. That would be awesome. So I don't have to get all the issues individually. As far as animated The Adventure Continues, Volume 1, we'll have to wait and see what that is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm super stoked for Allspark Almanac Volume 2. I cannot wait to get my hands on that.
I mean, granted, I probably won't be buying it, but if I was going to, I would rather have that one over the first one.
Well, see, now...
It's only because I like the aspects of Season 3 more than I like Season 1 and 2.
Right, and I understand that, but what I'm saying...
I understand I'd still have to have the whole thing to get the whole picture that's...
Right,
you know.
Exactly, because the thing about Allspark Almanac, regardless of what people have felt, and I felt this way originally about Seasons 1 and Season 2, the thing about Allspark Almanac is that Jim Sorensen and Bill... Oh, jeez, was it Bill Forrester? Yeah. The thing what they did was that they brought the animated characters to life on the page. Like, yeah, we know they're lifelike in the cartoon, but they pretty much went behind the scenes, got everything that we didn't know about that was going on, and put it into a book. The designs in the first book, the character models, they're very large. They almost pop off the page. It's just great. If you have a chance to, and I'm telling you, Steve, if you have a chance to go to a Barnes & Noble or somewhere, some bookstore in your area, and at least look at it, at least look at the book, because it's amazing what's in this thing.
Yeah, I'll be sure to do that next time I go to the bookstore.
Do we have a topic for this week, or this episode, or whatever?
Not really, because... I was looking to get some of the news out as well as respond and read the listener response to last episode's comments.
Yes.
So I really don't have any topic this week. Besides that, I think our brains are fried.
Well, it is 6:11 in the morning, so...
Yeah.
I guess I could get your thoughts on it. It was something that General Techno and I kind of argued over... we didn't really argue, but, you know, in ToyCast episode 48, which is yet to be released, we ended up closing the show with a topic of, we started on the, not Hasbro, the Mattel Masters of the Universe DC Universe 2-packs with Superman and He-Man and Lex Luthor and Skeletor. And then we ended up discussing the differences between Mattel Toy Company and Hasbro. And I really can't... You know, Mattel has two very giant properties. They have Masters of the Universe and DC Universe. And those two properties are giants in themselves. Now, Techno believes, because Masters of the Universe is pretty much something for... And I believe this, too. It's pretty much for collectors, and he said that you really can't market those toys to kids. Well, it depends. If you have, and I'm always going to use this as an example, Michael Wilson. He's a 30-something-year-old guy. He's got two kids, okay? He's got two young boys. Now, if he wants to get them into something, or if it's something that he grew up with, like, say, Transformers, you know, just replace it with the Masters of the Universe thing, you would have collectors buying those new classic mold toys for their current children. Yes, granted, if you go down the aisle of a Toys R Us or a toy store with a child, it's probably not going to the child is probably not going to jump out and say, "Ooh, I want that He-Man toy," because they don't know what it is. But I think once a parent educates a kid on something, like He-Man or something like that, I mean, it's a good way, and it's a very sneaky way for Mattel to get the Masters of the Universe line back into stores, because these Masters/DC 2-packs are going to be in Toys R Us stores very soon, I believe. I'm not sure exactly when, but, you know, it's a nice way to get Masters back on the shelves. And, you know, you have that, you know, sensation of if you're walking down a toy aisle, oh, Masters of the Universe, what's that doing here? I remember that from my childhood. The discussion quickly turned to Mattel versus Hasbro. And really, you can't pit Mattel against Hasbro because, honestly, Mattel has, I think, three very large properties. I believe they let the Barbie property die, but they have Barbie, Masters of the Universe, and DC Universe. Hasbro, on the other hand, has four very large properties. They have Transformers, G.I. Joe, Marvel, and what's the other one? Star Wars. Oh, yes. Jesus, people are going to crucify me for that. So, you know, Hasbro has the, you know, these four extremely large fan-based properties. Yes, Masters of the Universe from Mattel and DC Universe and Barbie are also very strong properties, but they're not as strong as those big four. So I really don't think you can compare the two toy companies. And plus, Techno pointed out that, you know, Hasbro is really making itself a entertainment company, especially with the new channel and the fact that they are very heavily into the fiction as far as comic books and all that stuff, which Mattel really isn't. Mattel is pretty much strictly a toy company. But it works for Mattel, I think.
Yeah, whereas Hasbro can pull it off.
Well, yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I think that Masters of the Universe, like, I grew up on all different forms of everything. I grew up on He-Man, Batman, Ninja Turtles, you know, G.I. Joe, Transformers. I mean, that, all that stuff, and I think you're right about, I mean, if I were to have kids, I would bring them up on the same exact stuff, so I mean, it's not like the stuff would die out, and pretty much if kids catch a whiff of something, you know, like they watch something, or if they see that you like it, they're pretty much going to jump on it.
Right. And that's what I was trying to explain to Techno, is that, you know, you have all these other toy properties, such as Transformers and everything else, that can be marketed to the children, whereas the Masters of the Universe classic line is directed directly at us collectors, for us people that grew up with it. And unfortunately, Techno is one of those people that didn't grow up with it, so he really doesn't get it. And I'm not trying to rag on you, Michael, but you just don't get it, dude. Masters of the Universe at the time in the 80s was everything. Before Transformers came along, Masters was it. And I'm just speaking from experience. When Masters of the Universe hit air and all those toys came out and everything else, I had pretty much all the He-Man toys before I even knew what Transformers was. So, you know, with this Classics line, like I said before, they are gearing it towards, hey, collectors, people that grew up on this, come buy the toys, because we have new toys for you. So that's what that's geared towards. We have anything else we'd like to bring up?
Well, I know Hasbro used to have a lot of the DC property up until recent years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they actually made, because Kenner actually had it in the early 90s,
mm-hmm.
which also was the house of Beast Wars.
Yes.
They ended up, once Kenner folded, Hasbro inherited everything fully under that name. And I think their last line they did was the Return of the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And completely fucked it. this is where Hasbro missed the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know that fucking Joker I'm making right now?
Yeah.
This should have been made when the movie came out.
Yeah, I agree.
And Hasbro, as usual, didn't make it. They repainted an older from the new Adventures of Batman and Robin, they repainted that Joker, the one with slightly less facial detail, the wild card one, and said, okay, here's your Joker, which was from the flashback scene in the Return of the Joker movie, and it wasn't even completely 100% accurate.
Right.
And, yeah, so once Mattel got their hands on it, they've got, like, these new three packs, and they've got this Joker with a Joker card in his hand, and it comes with, like, Black Canary and Batman, and this Joker looks exactly like the flashback Joker.
Right.
Like, color and everything. Like, detail is down to the T.
Mm-hmm.
Which I wish Mattel, like, being that they're going back and doing all that, I wish they'd go back and actually make a lot of the figures that got screwed up by Hasbro.
Yeah, see, the problem with that is, though, because you're looking at, you know, a specific line of a film. Like, damn, I forgot to mention that to Dodd. Anyway,
mention what?
No, I'll tell you off air. It's just something popped in my head. But with that, you're looking at a specific line from a movie, like the Batman Beyond characters from Return of the Joker as toys. That's very line specific. So unless it's selling now or popular right now, the toy company, no matter who it is, the toy company probably will not do it. That's the problem.
I would pick a DC one. Of course, there were a lot of other collectors that are into Batman.
Well, true, right. No, and I'm not saying that it's not possible that Mattel wouldn't do it, but I'm just saying, just from what I've learned...
It's highly unlikely.
Anyway. Yeah, just from what I've learned, like, watching other toy collectors, like, say, Pixel Dan and Duvall and all those guys over at That New Toy Smell, you know, it's very highly unlikely unless it's a huge, huge fan base. Now, don't get me wrong, Batman itself has an extremely large fan base. But I don't know how much of a fan base there's going to be for Return of the Joker toys.
Yeah, Batman Beyond didn't seem to go over very well.
Oh, it went over fine. I mean, it was a very popular show at the time. But again, you're talking about a show that's now
10 years old.
So, wow, that's scary.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, Christ, I'm way too fucking old.
They're starting to revisit Batman Beyond.
Yeah, it's going to be in a comic, though.
That may lead to a revival on the TV.
Maybe
even a live-action film, which would be kind of cool.
Oh, boy. Another thing Bryan Singer can butcher.
I was going to say have, like, Mark Hamill play the Joker and give him some really good, like, make him look really fucking scary and have that voice, and then have somebody that fits the look of Terry McGinnis, and then have and I saw this idea on another site, which is why I'm kind of suggesting it. And then they had Michael Keaton playing old fart Bruce Wayne.
You know, I've often thought of what a live action film would be for Batman Beyond, or, you know, whatever, or just a Batman the Animated Series film with Kevin Conroy being Batman in the live-action verse. I don't think it'll work, unfortunately. It would work fine for voice, but I don't know if Mr. Conroy could pull it off as a live-action Batman. He pulls it off awesome as far as voice acting, because he's voice acting to character model of Batman. That's just awesome. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Kevin Conroy is the definitive animated Batman ever. Hands down, no discussion, no argument, no nothing. Kevin Conroy is the goddamn Batman. That's what it is.
And Mark Hamill is the goddamn Joker.
Yeah, and as far as Hamill doing a live-action Joker, again, I don't know if it would work. Mark's kind of getting up there in age. I don't know how old Jack Nicholson was when he played the Joker back in 1989, but And I don't actually know how old Mark Hamill is now, but he's not as young as he was when he did the voice of the Joker back in the animated series and in Justice League. So I don't know how well he could pull it off.
He's done it in Arkham Asylum, and
yeah, he did do it in Arkham Asylum, but
and Return of the Joker, and he did it in like an episode or two of Birds of Prey.
Right, but you gotta understand though, outside of Arkham Asylum, all those things are at least 5 to 10 years old.
True.
So people age in the last 5 to 10 years. Now Arkham Asylum. He did do a good... I mean, I've just seen the trailer. I haven't actually played that game. But as far as I can tell, he did a good job. But it doesn't sound like the Joker that we knew from... Again, it's because the guy is aged. It doesn't sound like the Joker that we knew and loved from the BTAS and Batman Beyond and Justice League. I'm not saying anything against Mark Hamill. I understand the guy is getting older, and that's fine. But it's kind of like the thing with Frank Welker. Frank Welker, you know, 25 years ago, awesome job as G1 Megatron. Frank Welker now trying to do G1 Megatron, from what I've heard, he can barely pull it off, fortunately. No disrespect to Mr. Welker at all. I seriously doubt he's going to listen to this show, but I know that other fans of ours that are going to listen to this show, like Stupid 869 or Malunas or somebody, are probably going to argue this with me, but, you know, Frank Welker now can barely pull off G1 Megatron correctly anymore because, you know, because he's gotten older.
Yeah.
So.
Well, should happen. Should get old.
Why don't you close the show, Megatron?
Now, yes, the show is over. Leave. Be gone. Excellent. Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Yes.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.